Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. We have a good car to look forward to in Nace this afternoon. The feature race being the Slaney Novice Hurdle. That's a grade two and it takes place at 1:30. Plenty of other good racing to look forward to. Alongside that, my name is Mark Walton and joining me on the line to look ahead to the action is our Irish racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Very well, Mark. Thank you.
Good man. Not a bad card in Nace this afternoon.
Yeah, if we can get some of the fields to hold up. I think they've had quite a bit of rain over there in Nice, and it's caused one or two connections to rethink their plans and one or two high-profile withdrawals of late. So that's the only slight concern.
Yes, I'll relay the non-runners that we have so far as we go along, but do keep an eye out for any more because there's already been quite a few come out. So
yes.
Quite a few significant ones as well, which we'll move on to. It's going to be a test, though, isn't it, as well? It's good. If it was soft to heavy in places already and they've had more rain, then it's going to be a real slog, isn't it?
Yeah, it will. I mean, Nice and Navan, the two tracks in that Ponta County Kildare, have stiff uphill finishes, and it does make it very, very tiring for the horses in the latter stages. So I don't think they're going to be going overly mad early doors. I think you'll see quite a few races slowly run in the early part and then basically quickening up off the turn.
Okay, well let's get stuck into the action then. The first race this afternoon is the 12:30, and we start with a maiden hurdle over 2 miles and 3 furlongs, and a significant non-runner to start with here in the shape of Shoot Hall. That does not go. Neither does Concord Inn, and that leaves, or Concord Inn, if you want to say it in a French accent.
Well, it's a difficult one to assess in many respects. Whether Moonlight Boy is as good as he was last year, as we saw last year for Old Connections, he looked quite a promising type. When he won quite readily at Cork in the hands of Colm Sweeney. Beat a couple of subsequent winners, Double Irish for the Gordon Elliott stable, won very easily at Leopardstown over the Christmas period. And our man Zebo has been plying his trade quite nicely throughout the autumn campaign for Michael Horrigan. So, you know, he wasn't beaten to back numbers on that occasion. He's proved that he goes on the ground. And this looks a good starting point for him, obviously being a former point-to-point winner. And he's in the care of Christy Roach now, whose horses are in good form. He had a couple of winners over the Christmas period. He's been chalked up at even money, obviously, with the defection of the likely favourite at Shoot Hall out the race. He's the one that makes most sense, really. There are some interesting runners, however, against him. It'd be quite an eye-catching to keep an eye on authorisation here. From the James Motherwell stable. He has got a 60-day ban. He's coming back off that lengthy break, courtesy of what can only be described as a very eye-catching run at Nace last time out, when Jody McGarvey was at pains, probably just to give this horse as gentle as a ride as he possibly could. Unfortunately, they got found out, and they slapped up the stewards slapped a ban on him. It just depends what kind of mood the connections are in today, because whether they think, well, we're going to stick two fingers up to the authorities and say, well, we're going to run him on his merits and this is as good as he is, or whether they actually go and try and win a maiden hurdle. I think the plan obviously was to try and get him handicapped, so they've got to give him another run, really, just to keep everyone at bay. So he's worth keeping an eye on. And the other one is Torsef as well. He run quite nicely the other day in a race that has already thrown up a winner in the shape of Courage, who went on to win the Pertemps qualifier. He was third in that race, and I thought Torsef ran quite nicely. It was a bit of a dash to the line from three out, in all honesty. It wasn't a truly run mile and a half, 2.5 mile race, but at least he showed enough ability to show prominently in a race like that. And if you gave me a bet at the prices, I'd suggest 9-1 each way Torsef might be the way I'd go in this particular race. But it is so difficult to work out what they're going to do with authorisation and whether Moonlight Boy is as good as he was last year.
Okay, on to the second race, and this is at 1 o'clock, and this is an EBF novice chase over 2 miles, and another significant non-runner in this one. We have Mozeltoff out of the lineup in here, and that leaves Ned Buntline at the top of the betting, who's 10-11. And you were telling me before we went on air, Andy, that you were probably going to go with Ned Buntline anyway.
Yeah, it's kind of robbed us of the big clash of the day, Mosletoff against Ned Buntline. Two very promising novice chasers housed in the big powerful barns in Ireland. Obviously, Ned Buntline comes from the Normead stable, and Willie Mullins trains Mosletoff. But we've lost Mosletoff, which rather disrupts this race from a betting perspective. But at least it gives us another good chance to look at Ned Buntline, who improved significantly on his first run when he was only third. He looked as though he needed the outing that day behind Ballycasey. Ballycasey's been talked upon as a potential RSA horse, so you would have thought that Ned Buntline might have enough speed for him, but it wasn't the case. He weakened quite dramatically from the last. But he looked much smaller finish article next time out here on the 21st of December when he jumped really readily and stayed him very powerfully in the latter stages when he was pressed on all sides. That was a really good novice chase that day. The last circuit and the overall time were fantastic. They actually ran this last circuit 8.9 seconds quicker than any other chase on that particular card. So I think the form's quite good. We've already had a horse that's come out of that race and finished in the money. And, you know, that race is chock full of inform, promising chases. Irish Thistle, Cadspeed, Moscow Manon, you know, Some Ticket. And Ned Buntline disposed of them quite readily. We obviously know he goes on the ground. He's won here at Nace before. And I think with a clear round today, he should have enough quality to beat Maloney and Golan Brook, the other two significant runners against him here in this race. Both of them are useful, but I don't think they've probably got quite as much natural talent as Ned Buntline, who's a very good glider through a race. I actually think he'd be better on a much better surface in due course, even though a lot of his form's on soft or heavy ground, because you know, it'll allow him to really come home quite strong in his races. But I think Carbery will just sit in the catbird seat. I think he'll probably track Golan Brook, who's likely to make the run in, and hopefully his potent turn of foot at the end of the race will allow him to come home quite comfortably.
Okay, the third race is the big race of the day. It's the Slaney Novice Hurdle, a grade two over 2 miles and four furlongs, so 2.5 miles. Unfortunately, only three of them in the lineup for this. Briar Hill, the 1-4 favourite. Upazo, who probably would have been his main rival, the stablemate of Briar Hill, he's a non-runner, which leaves Verywood, the second favourite, at 4-1, and Apache Jack is 12-1. Briar Hill, Andy, 4-1 on. Is there any way you can oppose him here?
Not really, no. I mean, it's a shame, really, on many fronts that Briar Hill keeps having to run in these small field tactical events, because we're not really learning much about him with regards, you know, his credentials for any race that he runs at the Cheltenham Festival, whether he's a genuine Neptune horse or whether he wants further, whether he wants an Albert Bartlett race or whether he could be a supreme novices horse. Who knows? Don't forget he showed enough speed to win the Champion Bumper last year and he wasn't stopping up the hill. So that's the only problem. He's going to go to Cheltenham perhaps off the back of two or three small field wins when he's almost jogged round and then just quickened up from two or three out. I think, having seen him a few times, he's certainly going to have to improve in the jumping department. He was very sloppy, Navin, the last day when he beat Azorian. And it looked for most of that race as though Azorian was going better than Briar Hill, but his stamina kicked in and his quality shone through in the end. But he's done nothing on the figures. His jumping, like I say, hasn't been absolutely, you know, up to championship standard as of yet. And until he runs in a big field race where they go a good gallop and perhaps his class will, you know, come to the fore in a better race, then we're still in the dark with him. I still think he'll win this race comfortably today, because Verywood, on his only run when he went left-handed, jumped out to his right, and he can't afford to do that again today. He can't afford to be giving any ground away to a horse like Briar Hill, or any horse, let alone him. And Apache Jack basically just wouldn't be good enough, really, and on ground that in the past has really held him down. So Briar Hill will win, but I'm afraid we're still going to be in the dark with regards to Cheltenham, even if he does win by a big margin.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see him actually in a competitive race, wouldn't it? Just to see where he is, because he has had it pretty... He's a grade one winner, but he's had it easy over hurdles, really.
Well, that's it. So. Yeah, he just hasn't been tested at all. And, yeah, you know, when you go to Cheltenham, you want something that's gone there and at least prove that, you know, they've done it in a graded race. I mean, he's won a grade one, but it was a two-horse crawl, you know, so even though it's in the form book, he's won a grade one, he still hasn't really convinced yet.
Yep. OK, then, on to the 2 o'clock. Thankfully, this one is a little bit more competitive. This is a handicap chase over 2 miles, horses rated 0-130, and Treat Yourself heads the betting on his handicap debut. He's the 5-2 market leader. Not far behind him in the betting is Luke's Benefit, who's 11-4, chasing the hat-trick here. It's then 4-1 for World Or. Golden Ticket is 13-2, but very weak in the betting, out from 9-2. And then it's 10-1 or bigger prices the rest. Who do you like for the 2 o'clock, Andy?
Yeah, this is probably the most competitive race of the day, really. And it's a race we can get stuck into from a betting aspect. That's why I'm going to make this horse my nap in this race. Oh, I was going to nap Ned Buntline, but he's going to be shared of odds on, so I thought I'd go for a much better price nap. We'll deal with the front two in the market first of all. Luke's Benefit couldn't arrive here in much better form than he is. His 12-year-old has been a real good servant for Dennis Hogan over the years, and when he's in good nick, he often maintains his form. He's very good around the sort of New Year, Christmas period, as you can see by his form figures. November, December and January are this horse's cyclical months. And he was a good winner the other day in Punchestown in very attritional conditions. That's one thing about this horse. He does go very, very well on heavy ground. Then it's not negative I've got about him. He's all his best forms at Punchestown Fairy House and going right-handed. He's only actually raced left-handed, or he's only won once in eight starts going left-handed. Indeed, that here was at this track in the dim and distant past. Now, whether he's going to be quite as effective off what effectively is a career high mark against some good horses going left-handed on this occasion, I wouldn't be absolutely convinced by. So I'm going to pass Luke's Benefit over on this occasion. Tom Segal's tip treat yourself. He's a big Arthur Moore fan, is Tom Segal. He's tipped a horse called Home Farm one or two occasions, so he's definitely got more than a soft spot for Arthur Moore's training methods. Again, with this horse, I think all his best form's going right-handed. He's two wins from 15 going right-handed, naught from three left-handed. So even though he ran quite well the last day down in Clonmel, when he would have probably finished third at best because goal fell at the second last, I'm still absolutely not 1,000% convinced by him either. So this leaves the door open for my nap of the day here. World Or, trained by Henry de Bromhead, an eight-year-old who's got two career wins, both of them coming here at Nace, and that's very significant that he's a track specialist. Now, this horse has run three times to get a handicap mark of 117, which, in the face of things, is not too bad compared to his hurdle rating. And I thought he's run three out-catching races, all in much better class than this. First of all, behind the Shepherd King, hit the headlines in Minsk. Prima Vista was fourth in that race. I mean, those four horses just named there are good 130 rated horses over hurdles. He was in the process of running a big race down in Clonmel when he fell at the second last. I think he would have been involved in the finish. And then he was in that red hot race at Ned Bunline one last time out over the other track here at County Kildare at Navan. And he was on the coattails of the horses that I mentioned early on up to the second last until he faded and got eased after jumping two out. I think that runner would have brought him spot on. There's obviously now a bit of a racing edge on him. He's been well back this morning, round about 4-1. I think he's a fantastic each-way bet. So World Or with a clear round. Hopefully he'll ruffle the feathers of the main market leaders in that 2 o'clock.
Okay, on to race 5 next then. This is up to 2:30, and this is an EBF Mares Beginner's Chase. It's over 2 miles and 3 furlongs, and Abreen heads the betting this morning at 5-2. Chiltern Hills 11-4, 7-2 for Blazing Sonnet. That's been backed from 9-2, 11-2 for Back in a Tick, 9s for Sugar Bullet, and then double figure prices for the rest. An interesting one at the top of the betting there, Andy, and Abreen.
Yeah, caught the eye very much so last time out. In fact, I marked this horse down as a horse that is one to follow perhaps when it stays over hurdles, because I didn't think there was any great rush to send it back over fences at this day, in this late stage in its career, having run well against the likes of Jenny's Jewel and Call Me Bubbles in a red-hot race down in Navan. He's only two starts over fences, have yielded one fall and a second behind Upsilon Blur at Carlisle, which is not bad form at all. And obviously with the yard in good form, Stuart Crawford's had a fantastic Christmas period with plenty of winners in Ireland and in England, respectively. Then he's obviously on the lips of quite a few punters here. Chiltern Hills, I'm not totally convinced by this mare. I think she probably wants better ground that she's going to encounter today. If you look back two starts ago, she's winning an obvious hurdle on good to firm ground in the middle of summer. So how she's going to handle this heavy ground over fences, God only knows. And she's not the most scopiest either, so I think I put a big negative against the name of Chiltern Hills. So I'm going to go with the money horse this morning, Blazing Sonnet. She's a totally different model to quite a few of these in this race, in the sense that she's quite a big, robust mare. And even though she hit the deck last time out down in Limerick, she was in the process of running a big race. I think she probably would have come out second best anyway on that occasion, if I'm being honest. The winner on that occasion, Briley Babe, was probably holding sway anyway when Willie Austin's horse fell at the second last. But if you go back to the run at Wexford on the 19th of November, that wasn't a bad return either behind the likes of Specklewood and subsequently Elise Oscar. So her last two runs over fences have been pretty good. If she can keep out of trouble today and not make any disastrous blunders in the latter stages, then I think she's certainly got the quality to win a race like this. She'll handle the ground better than most, and Blazing Sonnet looks a fair each-way bet in that mare's only chase.
OK, Blazing Sonnet each-way then in the 2:30 on to the penultimate race, the 3 o'clock, which is a Martinstown opportunity handicap hurdle. It's over 2 miles and it's for horses rated 0 to 109. Again, it's another competitive race. Get What You Can is heading the betting at the time of recording, 11 to 4, and has hit the crossbar on the last couple of occasions. Rory's Brother is 9-2 second favourite. Shabra's Bertolini has been popular in the betting this morning, 11 to 2 into 9-2 third favourite, or joint second favourite rather. It's 9-1 for the Boogler, 10s for Sir Harry Cash, and a couple of others that have attracted a bit of money at bigger odds. Decade Player, 14s into 11s. That's the other one. In fact, that's the only other one that's attracted the money. So, interesting race, the penultimate race, Andy. A few that have been popular in the betting. Who would you side with here?
Yeah, difficult one, isn't it? Yeah. Get Out Where You Can has been a fairly consistent horse in last two or three starts, finishing runner-up at Punchestown and Tramore, respectively. The Hood goes on for the first time today for Charlie Swan's five-year-old, and Gia Fox, who rides in this conditional jockey's race, he's a decent pilot as well, so plenty of positives in the direction of Get Out When You Can. Also, favourable mention has to be thrown in the direction of Rory's Brother, who represents the informed Dennis Hogan stable. He managed to win last time out at Limerick. Any horse that wins on Limerick soft or heavy ground has to be another consideration when he races under similar conditions. Whether he's good enough to follow up that win over fences, back over hurdles, obviously that's a slight doubt there, but at least he arrives in good nick. A couple to mention at big prices as well, the Bugler. I think this horse can outrun its odds. Certainly was in the process of running a huge race at Navan on the 21st of December when he fell at the last. He probably would have finished second or third, but he took the field along at a good gallop on that occasion. That was the first significant run from Sean Bruin's seven-year-old. So obviously the ground today being similar to what it was on that occasion will suit this horse. And another one at a big price as well is a horse called Miss Faithful. Peter McCreary's six-year-old mare has run a couple of nice races in much better races than this, and now goes into handicap company for the first time off a mark of 95. I think she could be quite dangerous lurking down the bottom here with Jonathan Moore on board. Fifth behind Utacare, Navan on the 7th of December. Again, that wouldn't have been a bad run. And also beyond the cookie jar last time out at Thurles, the track probably was a bit too sharp for her on that occasion. But she's run well on these big tracks before. Ninth behind Moore Parks signifies that as well. And I thought 16-20 to 1. She could be worth a little bit of a small interest at a big price in a race that I haven't really got a particularly strong view on. So Miss Faithful each way, if you can get those huge odds about her.
Okay, Miss Faithful each way then. In the 3 o'clock, the final race is the 3:30. We finish with a 2 mile bumper, and not a single piece of form to go on here, Andy. It's all about the breeding and the stables and the market moves, I guess, in the final race.
Yeah, it is, yeah. We go on the breeding, we go on the market moves, as you said, and we've got to start with Nomid, haven't we, with Champillon, a gelding by Turtle Bowl. Most of those Turtle Bowls want a bit of cut in the ground. Obviously, Nina Carby on board, and doesn't need me to tell you that Nomid's not only the best trainer at this track, but his record in bumpers is pretty amazing as well. 5 wins in 14 bumper races in the last 3 or 4 years, so the market's obviously going to point in his direction. Interesting that Sawistan runs in the same colours as one or two horses that were carried to victory last year from the Tony Martin stable, obviously being owned by John Breslin. He had plenty of bumper winners in these colours. Shane Shorter takes the ride. He's a gelding by Nayef. Now, most Nayefs probably want slightly better ground than this, so that would be the only slight concern there. Interesting, there's been a money for Oscar Wes Montan this morning. Now, she's a filly, so obviously she gets the weight for age down the bottom as well. And she's by Westerner. Now, Westerner has become one of the most fashionable national hunt sides in recent times, and most of those horses from that bloodline want a test of stamina. Well, she's certainly going to get that today, isn't she? There's no doubt about that. And it is quite significant that a small stable like David Kelly would see fit to take on the big boys and have a bit of a go in the betting as well. William Hill have cut this horse, so perhaps she's one to keep an eye on at a bigger price. But without seeing in the parade ring and getting the up-to-date vibes, I'd have to obviously at this stage go for Champillon.
Okay, yeah. West Montan 5s into 4s this morning, so see if that gamble continues. And Champillon the 7-4 market leader, rather. No surprise to see that one at the top of the betting, but it's very much one to watch the betting about, really, isn't it, the last race?
Yeah, definitely.
Let's have a quick spin through then, Andy, if you wouldn't mind, once again. Let's have your selections for Nace one more time.
Yeah, I'll probably play Torsi for each way in the first race, but do keep your eye on up to the favourite Moonlight Boy, in particular Authorisation, who's a very eye-catching runner for the future. Ned Buntline is probably my next best bet on the card in the 1 o'clock. Hopefully he'll do what he did last time out. Unfortunately, we've been robbed of a decent clash in the 130, and Brian Hill looks as though he's got another fairly straightforward task there in that Slaney novice's hurdle. My nap of the day is going to be Worldor in the 2 o'clock. I think if you back him each way at 4-1, you should be on fairly safe ground there, and hopefully he can bounce back to the corner form he was in over hurdles last season here at this track. Blazing Sonic each way in the 2-3 looks a fairly obvious choice there. In the 3 o'clock, not a particularly strong view, but I thought Miss Faithful at 16-20-1 was worth a few each way units in that particular race. And in the final race, do keep your eye on the market as ever here in these bumpers, but Champillion representing the inform and all-conquering Noel Mead stable here at this track is the vote in the last.
Fantastic. Good stuff, Andy. Thank you very much. Good luck with those selections, and enjoy Naces this afternoon.
Will do, and I'll no doubt speak to you for Thurles tomorrow.
Will do.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.